Here we are once again.
And happy, we are back.
Happy Sunday. Happy Father's Day. I totally forgot it was Father's Day until somebody said something.
Yeah. I'm going to call her daddy's name. Huh? What? Oh, yeah. Tommy. I don't know it.
Tommy going to send him some turkey next.
Yeah. My dad's response to, how you been? I don't know it.
It's his, is that what he always
says?
Yeah,
I don't know it. Yeah, it's crazy.
How am I supposed to know?
Yeah, I don't know it.
Why are you even asking me?
Yeah.
I told Tom that Pookie should have got him a Father's Day present. Yeah, that would have been really funny.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. But
looks like everybody's here in the comment section. Even T showed up on time. Can't believe it. Hey, right? T, did you start Spartacus yet?
See, he's just going to keep hounding
I'm gonna
you
fuck
until
with you.
You do that.
Did you start Spartacus yet? Did you see Bronson yet? Did you see... Mitch never did go in there and check fucking Superman Red Sun. I see how it is. She don't want to watch animated stuff. I understand.
Tila said, my uncle says, I can't call it when I ask him how's
it
going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They say that kind of shit. It's a Southern thing. Is he Southern? They fucking have the craziest responses to shit. The deeper you go into the fucking backwoods, the crazier shit that they say. They make up little phrases and stuff. It's kind of endearing, you know, they do that shit. You know, that's it.
Tila says she's in the middle of watching Bronson now, so shut up.
Yeah, Bronson's cool, huh? Bronson's good.
There you go.
I think he's good. What do you make of it so far? We're talking about another movie today. This is the second installation in M. Night Shyamalan's
Unbreakable trilogy.
Yeah, in his superhero trilogy, which I gotta say, M. Night, when he's in form, man, he's good. When he's out of form, he fucking sucks.
Yeah, there's really no in between, is there?
No. But this was the only movie out of that trilogy that I haven't seen, and I gotta say, his superhero trilogy is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of low budget movie making. This is not big budget. He's making a superhero movie or a whole universe, superhero universe, out of nothing with no money. And I think it's very successful. And I like it.
I kind of feel like M. Night is more in his element with smaller, more grounded stories like this.
Yeah.
Even if it's about superheroes and stuff. Well, I feel like when he fails when he tries to go too big or too elaborate with the world building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seems like most of the movies of his that I liked were ones that were, you know, smaller in scope, like, and character driven like this one was.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I've seen Unbreakable probably two or three times. We saw Glass in the theater when it came out, but I had never seen Split either, so this was the first time seeing it. Like, I kind of knew what it was about. And like I said, since we'd already seen Glass, you know, it kind of refers back to that one. I have to say, and this may be a controversial opinion, but now that I've seen Split, I actually like Split better than Unbreakable. I liked Unbreakable too. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying I think I like Split the best of all three of them.
I like them all. This is a super villain movie.
Yeah.
It's in the same universe. Fucking Mr. Glass is mentioned, and a surprise cameo at the very end, Bruce Willis playing, I guess it's his version of the superhero. And the main character in this story is a villain. And if he's called the Horde. And he comes across as kind of just like a demented serial killer. And you think he's fucking out of his mind. You're not really sure. I mean, if you didn't know this was linked in with the Unbreakable universe, you would think he was just crazy. But at the end, he manifests paranormal abilities. And what I like about this is that this entire universe, his version of a superhero's universe, what I like about it is that it's grounded in reality. What if that shit was true? What would it really look like? And that's what this is about. You could almost say that maybe that paranormal one with the kid that saw the ghost. What was the name of that fucker?
The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense. You might be able to say that The Sixth Sense might have been in this same universe.
I kind of feel like a lot of his movies are sort of in the same universe.
Like if there was a kid that could see dead people and communicate with them. That would almost be like a superpower, too. It'd be like something Doctor Strange or Mephisto might be able to do. Well, these characters are like that, but they're almost kind of like something paranormal, psychic, manifesting poltergeist type abilities. On the edge of what would be real, you know. Me personally haven't seen a poltergeist and been a part of a poltergeist outbreak, if that's what you want to call it, and having some near-death and out-of-body experiences. If there were superheroes, they would be like this. This is what they would be like.
It would be something that was paranormal. I think that's what a lot of people like about this particular series, is that it's like a superhero movie, but it's not like over the top. It's like super realistic.
No leotards and shit.
And I also, well, I think my favorite thing about Split, and like I said, this is the first time that I had seen this, although they kind of touched on it a little bit in Glass, which we saw in the theater when it came out. I really like the concept of someone with dissociative identity disorder and some of their personalities manifesting different physical traits. Yeah. I think they even like imply in this one, like one of his personalities has diabetes and none of insulin. The other ones do.
Right. And that one's got to take insulin.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, so there are actually like physiological like differences between, which is a fascinating thing to explore.
Yeah.
And him, like his 24th personality being the Beast, which is essentially like a superhuman.
It's kind of like Bane.
Yeah, like it was like he's bigger and he can like climb up walls and like, you know, bullets bounce off him and shit like that.
Well, his image of himself is that he's bigger and has long hair. He doesn't.
Yeah.
The dude's bald. He's the same size. But that fucker can climb up a wall. You see him do it.
Yeah.
You see him absorb a couple of shotgun blasts at pretty close range.
Yep.
He thinks he's huge. He's not, but he is strong. The motherfucker can run on all fours and run up a wall, which is looks like something from Possession, maybe.
Yeah. You know?
And what the idea here is that a mental disorder can cause paranormal, not only multiple personalities, but some of these personalities can exhibit paranormal phenomenon. It's a fucking masterpiece, man. I think it's like just a great movie.
I mean, what a great idea.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, so interestingly, I had completely forgotten because Unbreakable came out in 2000, right?
Yeah.
This movie came out in 2016. Now, at the time that it came out, they were keeping it very closely under wraps that this was essentially in the same universe as Unbreakable. They called it a stealth sequel. You know, meaning this is kind of like the first time that this had been done. So I think when M. Night first showed the movie to test audiences, he left that last scene with Bruce Willis out that links it in with Unbreakable. He left that out. But when they showed it at film, like it premiered, I think at the AFI Film Festival or something like that. And I was watching Chris Stuckman and he saw it at the film festival. And he's a big M. Night fan, so going into Split not knowing that it was supposed to be not necessarily a sequel, but in the same universe. And so when that last scene happened, and then, you know, Bruce Willis is there and he said something about Mr. Glass, he's like the whole audience like fucking lost their shit.
Yeah, I did too. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I knew they were part of the same.
Yeah, see, back then they didn't know.
Right. So I imagine there was a huge, that was a badass
reveal.
Everybody's
like, what?
Yeah. That would have been a badass reveal. What did I say? That's a badass reveal.
Yeah.
See, Shyamalan had this fucking, he was the twist guy, and that kind of was his problem. He fucked that up a couple times. But that ending to this movie was a fucking fantastic reveal / twist. And it wasn't really a twist. It was a reveal.
Yeah.
But it was a brilliant review. If you didn't know this was part of the Unbreakable series, like you said, the audience didn't, you'd have been, oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, it's fucking badass.
Because it was interesting watching reviews for people that saw it at the time that it came out and didn't know, you know, that it was that. Because they saw it, like, at a film festival and stuff. And they were just kind of like, they really liked it because they're like, oh, he's exploring kind of the same thing, like a superhero, a supervillain, really, origin story. But they didn't really think about it as being tied in with Unbreakable. And they're like, but if you didn't know that it was tied in with Unbreakable, when they get to the part near the end where James McAvoy starts, like, being the Beast and he starts, like, climbing up the walls and stuff. And a few people were kind of like, well, I don't know if I'm buying this anymore because it was like so realistic. But then like that last scene, they were like, oh, okay, well now it makes complete and total
sense. It's a supervillain movie. Yeah. I thought it was just a masterful movie. The acting's fucking great.
James McAvoy should have got a fucking Oscar nomination at least. I can't believe he didn't get one for this. He was incredible.
He plays about 6 or 7 different personalities and they're all credible. You see him as a different person in a way. It doesn't seem like he's acting. It just seems like he's mentally ill.
Yeah, you know, it's a very natural performance.
It's real natural the way it happens.
I mean, I always like James McAvoy anyway. Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's real good.
But he was just, he was amazing in this. Yeah. Amazing.
Now it makes me want to see Glass again. What's the last one? The last one is Glass. Yeah, I want to see Glass. I've only seen it once. So we have it, right? I have it.
Yeah.
I have it.
We have Unbreakable and we have Glass. We ordered Split, but it hasn't come yet. We just watched it on Amazon Prime.
And I got a fucking sneaking suspicion. It's coming from the UK. I got a sneaking suspicion that it's fucking the wrong region.
That we're not going to be able to. Yeah, see, you really got to watch that kind of shit.
It wasn't specified. I went back and looked at the ad and it does not specify.
It doesn't say that it doesn't play. It
doesn't say
region
B. Because
most of the time, if you look at the Amazon things, like a lot of them will have a little message at the bottom like, hey, heads up, this probably won't play, like on most North American shit.
Right.
But not always, so you gotta watch like sometimes. Right. I kind of feel like, and a lot of reviewers said this about Split as well, because as I said, a lot of people had been, you know, kind of, you know, everybody loved Unbreakable, a lot of people liked Signs, but then kind of after that, he went into kind of like a slump where a lot of his movies were like really poorly reviewed, like to such an extent that he sort of became a whipping boy for a long time, and people were like, a joke almost. But then when this came out, I feel like the critics were like, oh, he's back, you know what I mean? Because this movie is like fucking awesome.
I agree.
And the fact that it was, that he snuck it in there, that it was like a stealth sequel to Unbreakable, you know, 16 years later. Because I think what ended up happening was that the character that James McAvoy plays, whose real name is Kevin, even though he has like 23, 24 different personalities, I think that M. Night had actually written that character to go into Unbreakable initially, like back in, you know, the late 90s or whatever. And he's just like, well, as that movie, you know, progressed, I just took that character out, but I still kept all those pieces. Yeah. And that's kind of what he made Split out of.
Yeah, because it would be hard to stuff this character into that movie.
Yeah.
Into that first movie. This character requires a movie of its own, which that's what they did. It's brilliant.
And then in the third one, they kind of like all three of them are.
You could take this trilogy and then this trilogy and The Sixth Sense, and that together would be. I'm just going to say that that's enough to call a guy to say that a guy had a brilliant career. I think that just say, you know, that's my opinion. He did have some people would say Signs is good. I think Signs is kind of mediocre, actually. But just this trilogy alone, I'm going to call it a masterpiece. I mean, I think it's better than the MCU. I'm not impressed with the MCU in terms of, because it's just visually driven. It's like going on a roller coaster ride. It's very generic to me. There's not really any kind of deep storytelling in it. It's not a lot of lore in it. None of the MCU really kind of personally fucking communicated anything deep to me. I would say John Wick movies fucking were deeper than the MCU. I like the John Wick. And to me, it was saying something a little bit, you know, his dog or whatever. And it was fun movies to watch. I could remember them when they were over. I couldn't even remember an MCU movie when it was over.
Yeah, and I'm not like shitting on people, because I know people are like super, super into the MCU and like they've seen all the movies. And I have to say, I haven't seen all the movies. I've seen like a selection of them, but well, I mean, as a whole, like I said, if people like them, that's cool. I'm not a real like, ooh, big spectacle movie type person.
To me, they're very corporate and very generic.
Yeah, so it's like I enjoy them when I watch them, but then I can't really remember, the details from time to time.
You don't walk out of there with like a new perspective on anything. They don't change you at all.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And a story's got to fucking kind of at least put you in an altered state when you're walking out of there.
Yeah, I just
like,
kind of see them as they're just like fun popcorn movies.
Yeah, it's just like a roller coaster ride. You go, okay, that's it, it's over. And then it didn't really change anything.
You know? I mean, like I said, I know some people got super into it, and that's, you know, that's cool. But like I said, I'm not a real big like spectacle movie person.
Just saying, that is not cinema. The MCU is not cinema.
Cinema.
The Joker was. Man, you know, the Joker was a fucking great movie. That, you know, there was a few of them that were really good. You know, that first two seasons of first two seasons of fucking Daredevil, maybe even the third season of Daredevil is really good.
Yeah, if you're going to do superheroes, I tend to like a more kind of toned down, realistic kind of take on him. You know what I mean?
This one right here, this trilogy and Brightburn would go together pretty well. It seemed Brightburn felt like it was in this universe.
It did a little bit, didn't it?
A little bit. Yeah.
Tila asked which of the movies was our favorite from the three. I'm going to say I've just seen Split once, like last night or it wasn't last night, it was the night before. I'm going to say I think Split is my favorite. You know, I'd have to watch all of them again. I like it actually a little bit better than Unbreakable, just because that fucking performance, like James McAvoy in there, that's just like fucking, even if it was just that, even if there wasn't all the stuff about the kidnapping the girls and like the whole hit, like all of his personalities and his interaction with his therapist, who's played by Betty Buckley, like all that shit is like so, so good. And it's like funny too, but it's not, I don't know. I think he really hit like the humor, scary balance like really well in this movie, which he doesn't always do, but I think he really got it in this one.
The Horde is a bunch of different characters. The guy's got multiple personalities.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a deep character into itself, and they're all talking to each other, and they're all trying to negotiate with each other.
And they're all trying to get into the light.
Yeah.
To be like the front person. To be the front persona, one. Yeah.
Which is kind of a great setup for a villain.
Yeah.
It thinks it sees itself, or the Horde, you know, the Horde sees itself as a multitude. It's kind of like demonic possession, where they say, we are Legion, or I am Legion. And it's like that. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. And the good ones can come forward and they kind of act as camouflage for the bad ones. It's kind of
And they're trying to kind of like wrestle control. One of the best things about it is that there's really only, I mean, the Beast, who's obviously like the villain because he's like has the paranormal abilities. But then you have Dennis, who is kind of like a BTK type kidnap. He's the one that kidnaps the girl. So he's obviously a bad guy. Then you have Patricia, who is this real kind of upper crust
older lady.
Yeah. And she's kind of like the mom, but she also kind of is in cahoots with Dennis.
Yeah.
And then you have Hedwig, who's a 9-year-old kid. And he seems like he's real friendly and shit like that. But then in the end, he kind of like throws his lot in with the bad guys, too, just because he thinks that the Beast is going to protect all of them. But it's interesting that some of the personalities, like Barry and stuff like that, are trying to wrest control back from, like, the bad personalities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, like, a really good...
In totality, though, you can just say the Horde is one thing.
Yeah.
And that the good ones are kind of like camouflage for the bad ones. They're all acting together as a team, ultimately. And behind it all is this damn Beast.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what it is. The Horde is actually the Beast. Because it was the highest culmination of them all, remember?
Yeah.
It came up out of the group. So they're all kind of giving excuses for one another, but still, you wouldn't want to mess with the Horde.
No. It'd
be very dangerous. You know? Because in the end, it's just it just ends up deceiving you anyway. Behind all that is that Beast.
And I mean, the couple scenes where, because, you know, a couple of the personalities are, like, sending emails to the therapist, like, without the other ones knowing.
Yeah.
Like, being like, help me, help me. And then, but they won't say which one it is. And I love that he turns up at the therapist's office saying that he's Barry, which is usually the persona that he fronts with when he's there at that. It's like he's supposed to be, like, the kind of spokesperson or whatever. But it's actually Dennis... fronting as Barry, like as another personality, so it's like really complex.
But you could also read it this way: the entities inside the Horde that was asking for help, that was really just another way of reaching out to contact a victim to bait him in.
Well, ultimately that's what happens.
That's why I'm saying all of them would be dangerous.
Yeah,
it's all the whole thing is dangerous. It's just part of it. It's kind of like the thing; it can be whatever it needs to be at the time.
Yeah,
in the end, it's going to try to absorb you or kill you. Be like that.
Or eat you. I mean, he ate those two girls at the end, like a lion.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, T was asking, which is the best one? It's hard to say because each one built on the other ones. Even though I didn't see Split in the theater. I didn't see it. I saw Glass without seeing Split.
Yeah.
And yeah. I thought that Glass was better than Unbreakable. It was pretty cool. I didn't know who the Horde was, but it's in that movie.
Yeah.
But it gives you enough information in there to where you don't have to see Split. But I wish I would have seen Split before.
Yeah, it would have been good to see them would've in been, order.
Yeah.
I mean, we were. I think yeah. I remember before we went to see Glass, I said, "Oh, we should see Split before we see Glass because I think yeah. it's a trilogy." And then we just didn't get around to it.
Right. Which one is best? It's hard to say. I mean, each one is kind of offering its own thing. Unbreakable was cool because it introduces to you as a person in the audience the idea that a superhero might actually exist, that superheroes and supervillains might actually exist. What would they be like? And Bruce Willis is kind of like his character is introducing you into this, you know, that he touches someone, he can kind of get an idea of if they're doing something wrong or not. You know, he doesn't believe it. You don't really believe it. Then you start to believe, and he starts to believe, and his powers start to get... He starts trusting himself, and it actually works. And then he goes in there and tries to do bench presses, and he realizes that he can bench as much weight as he needs to.
Yeah.
He just keeps adding weight. He can still bench it. And I think he ended up benching about 300 pounds.
Yeah.
Which was... That's a lot of weight for somebody of Bruce Willis's build.
Well, and somebody that hasn't been training to do that.
Yeah, someone who hasn't been lifted.
Right.
But he could lift that. He couldn't believe that he could lift that. And then, and so it was kind of a cool way. It wasn't unreasonable strength. He wasn't lifting a car like Superman. It was within the realm of possibilities. There are guys that can do that.
Yeah.
It's just he genetically had these gifts, and they were kind of understandable. Because, psychometry is a supposed ability, which is where you touch something and you can get an idea of where it came from.
Yeah.
You know, a real shithouse version of that would be palm reading. That's another way of, yeah. you know, that you could touch someone and go, oh man, that person's abusing their child at home, and get a flash of it, of a psychic flash of what they were doing wrong. And if he followed his instincts, he could save people. That was a fucking... A very kind of believable way of expressing a superhero. And then at the end of that, when you find out that the guy who was mentoring him the whole time was a supervillain.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Glass. He was doing all this terrorism to find a hero. Because without that, he would be meaningless. Now, without a hero, he, you know, as a villain, he would be meaningless.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of watch them all, I guess, to understand each
Yeah, they
one.
All explore like a different aspect yeah. of the same kind of thing, which I thought was like a really interesting thing to do. I would say
Glass was a culmination of all of them. And in terms of action, Glass was the best one.
Yeah.
A lot happened in Glass.
I don't know if I can say which one's the best one, but I think Split was my favorite
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
I can just
understand.
Because that dude's like performance
good acting.
Is like it's
right.
just blew my top of my head off. Yeah. It was just like so fucking good.
In Glass, it's all kind of coming together into what you would know as a superhero movie with supervillains acting together.
Yeah.
And really fighting and shit.
Mr. Roboto asked why the character wasn't on medication. I think he might have been at some point, but I think that they said in the movie that he'd actually been okay for like 10 years, right? Because they said he had a job and he'd been like real stable and everything like that. So I don't know if he'd been on medication at some point in the past and they'd weaned him off it, or if he was still on it or whatever. I'm not really sure. But they did say that he had a stable job for 10 years and he hadn't been doing anything bad.
You also got to understand that he wasn't a normal person.
Well, yeah.
All right. he had a mental illness, but it wasn't just that. He had these extraordinary gifts. All right. The average mentally ill person would not end up like this. According to Mr. Glass, remember from the very first movie, some people are gifted. He was a gifted person who happened to have mental illness that culminated into the creation of a character called the Beast. And he had paranormal fucking abilities. It opened up a doorway into basically mental powers. That's basically what he said. Mental. It opened, and that he became a higher, more evolved human being. That's the way a human was supposed to be. Okay? And that he was seeing other people as... what do you call them?
Well, they were impure.
Impurities.
Because they hadn't suffered.
They hadn't suffered. They haven't suffered enough to unlock this door into you that would allow these paranormal abilities to come out. And which is very much like Nietzschean philosophy, that that which does not kill you makes you stronger. That's basically what he was saying. So he, and a lot of the things that the beast said were kind of Nietzschean, you know, about, you know, suffering burns away impurities. You know, that goes all the way back to Zoroastrianism, where you go to hell to burn off impurities, and then you end up becoming a clean soul that can ascend to heaven, that kind of thinking.
Well, I mean, that's why that was the whole reasoning behind him not killing, because he killed the other two girls that he kidnapped, but he didn't kill Anya Taylor-Joy's character because he saw all the scars on her, so she had suffered enough. Yeah. And she was like, you know, she was able to match him, even though she couldn't kill him. So he let her go. And then she was great in it, too, by the way. She was also in The Witch, which I think Louis mentioned, which was also a fantastic movie. Tila said, can we talk about his physical transformation as the Beast? Which, yeah. And I don't even think this movie, M. Night paid for this movie himself, just like he did The Visit. It was $9 million. And it made... $278 million. It was actually the most profitable movie of that year, of the year that it came out. Just because, you know, like I said, he paid for it himself and it was only $9 million. So I don't know if they really used a lot of CGI. I don't really think they did. I think James McAvoy, I was gonna say that great scene where he's like pulling the bars apart and like his fucking face, and it's like he doesn't even look like the same dude anymore. And it's like, I don't think they did any CGI there. I mean, it didn't look like it. It just looked like he was just like making a fucking crazy ass face.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any transformation. It was just the way he was moving.
Yeah, which again, that was like a fucking brilliant ass performance, because even though they didn't, as far as I know, they didn't do any sort of digital effects or anything to make him look different, but
they shot him from a lower angle to make him look bigger. But you knew that that was fake, because the things around him were still the same size. He didn't get bigger. In his mind, he was bigger.
Yeah.
And he was a lot stronger in his mind, which actually allowed him to do things that a normal human couldn't do. And he could just grip onto a wall and climb up a wall like Spider-Man.
Yeah, like a lizard.
Yeah.
Well, he was kind of like taking all the beast characteristics like from, because you'd find out later that like he worked at a zoo for 10 years, the Philadelphia Zoo, and that's where he was keeping them, like in the thing underneath.
She shot him at least twice with, looked like double out buckshot from a shotgun.
Yeah,
it marred his skin up, but it didn't penetrate him.
No.
He just laughed it off.
Yeah, he was just like, whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, hard to deny that. You know, so it was a paranormal event.
Yeah, I mean,
event.
If I shot a dude point blank in the fucking chest and he just kind of kept coming at me, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm fucked.
Yeah, it wasn't in his mind, or it was his mind, but it allowed him to do that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about this, too, and I didn't realize this, and I don't even think this is on the Wikipedia page, but I just saw it on a different review, was that this movie actually looks great. Like, the cinematography is really nice. And I found out that, I can't remember the dude's name, but M. Night wanted the same cinematographer that did It Follows. So if you've seen It Follows and then you see this, you can kind of tell that that's the same person that did the cinematography, because it looks not like similar, but you can tell like it's kind of the same sort of style. But yeah, I'm just so mad that it took us this long to see it. And like I said, it sucks, because I kind of feel like I wish we would have seen them in order.
Yeah.
You know, and it did occur to me, like, before we went to see Glass, it's like, oh, we should probably see Split first, but we just didn't do it.
When you have the Blu-rays, there's a lot of deleted scenes.
Yeah.
You know, Unbreakable, too, and more information. Pretty good. Good movies.
Yeah.
Real good. I'd like to see a fourth one. You could do a whole universe.
Well,
you could bring that kid back from the Sixth Sense, and he'd be grown now, and he'd be kind of like Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
He'd be fighting bad guys and talking to dead people and asking them what's going on with that.
Hey, yeah. Dead guy, what
should I
do?
What's
about
up with
this?
That? Yeah, sending ghosts to do shit for you.
Sending ghosts.
Just
to
have
do
him.
Shit.
Yeah, have him just show up, and you go, "Oh, it's that kid from the Sixth Sense. He's one of them too." You could combine that one too. See?
He could just, M. Night should, he should just tie every single one of his movies together.
Yeah, and the aliens from Signs, too.
Yeah.
You got fucking Mel Gibson being crazy as fuck.
I mean, there's got to be some way that you could tie all of those stories together somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah, Mr. Roboto said he's fat now. Yeah, the kid that played...
Oh, he is? Yeah.
Well, here, remember he was in Tusk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
He was the other...
He's not that fat, though. He's good enough to do it.
Yeah.
He can still do it, yeah.
I wouldn't call him fat.
He's a little chubby.
He's a little chubby, that's all.
That's okay. That'd fit right in. You know,
he's a little chubby.
Have him talking to the ghost. He's eating fucking peanut butter jelly. Yeah, yeah, go do the... Go, you know, he goes, it's okay. Ghost got it covered. He's going to go take a look. He'll contact us in a minute.
I'm just going to sit back and eat some ho-hos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's got a damn tarot card shop. He's fucking telling fortunes and shit. But over the people's shoulder and shit, the ghost is telling him what he did this and that. Kind of like that of the Frighteners.
Yeah.
Where dude's got a team of ghosts working for him.
Ghost team.
Yeah.
I wish I had a ghost team.
Yeah.
Maybe I do and I don't even know about it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something? Man, I'm so fucking sleepy, you guys. We went to Mannequins.
She thought that was a good idea. Good idea, Tom.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, there's really not much limit to...
No.
Because, you know, if these three people have these powers, like Mr. Glass has them, and like, you know, Bruce Willis's guy has them, and the Beast has them, it's like, well, then that stands to reason that there would be more than that.
There'd be a lot, be a big variety of stuff.
Yeah.
And you can't have Willis back because he gets killed in Glass.
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he?
He got killed. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
He got killed. But his son survived.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hinted that the son, there was something special about his son too, wasn't it? From what I remember.
Well, yeah, because I thought we saw Glass that came out in theaters what like back in 2019, right? Early to 2020, I can't remember. But yeah, we saw it back then, and I kind of remember what happened in it, but not exactly.
Like
we
had a big fight. At the end, on the damn parking lot.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And that fucking the Beast was running on all four.
Yeah, yeah.
On all fours and jumping over cars and shit.
Yeah.
It looked really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
He was down, from what I remember, wasn't he just in underwear?
I thought he just had pants on.
Pants on,
but
yeah,
I could
that's
be
what it was.
Remembering.
Just, yeah,
I thought it was just pants.
Orange like prison pants.
Or something.
And he's galloping on all fours and jumping over the cars.
Yeah, like an animal.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking dog running.
That's fucking, that's
crazy. Yeah.
I don't know if that was digitally done or if that was like...
I think it was. It looked good, though.
Yeah, it did. Tila says, supervising a team of ghosts and eating Little Debbies.
Yeah.
See, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Scott says, I'd have the ghosts remove all of the brown M&Ms.
Yeah.
But yeah... I'm kind of sleepy.
Yeah,
we went to Mannequins last night. The theme was goth apocalypse.
Yeah.
Although they did it Friday night too, so I feel like more people dress up on Friday night. I guess from what we heard, not many people dress.
I was gonna win the competition, but Tom says, "Nah, it's not fair, man. Go ahead." He kicked me out. They were fucking rooting for me and shit. I was dressed up like a damn war boy. I got a video of it.
Yeah, I was like, I wanted him to get out there, but I was like, well, he's not going to let you win because everybody's going to be like, favoritism.
Yeah, they'd be like, because I'm damn near staff, you know.
That's why, I kind of wore a kind of apocalyptic looking outfit too, but it's like, I didn't even bother, because I said, I know they're not going to give it to me. So it's like, you bitches can't drink free in here. Get out. We already let you use the staff bathroom. What else do you want? But yeah, it's kind of that sort of thing. But yeah, we took the kids. Took the kids, and then we'd get home till fucking, I had goggles. I had goggles.
Yeah.
That's gonna be that. Somebody's gonna gif that. That would be really funny. We're gonna pump you up. Tom can win. You just have to make it look legit, Jenny. What was the best costume? There weren't really, like I said, there weren't a lot. The girl that won, I think she basically had, what did she even have on? She had like some of those big goggles. She was pretty much like all covered up. She had kind of like all kind of like camouflage shit all over and stuff like that. Like I said, I heard that for what they said they did it Friday night too. And they said that more people had dressed up on Friday night.
Yeah.
Because I guess they've started to do a theme like every weekend now, which is fine with me.
Yeah.
I think they're doing Bloodbath. I don't know if it's the next theme or I don't know. It was somebody wanted to do that. So everybody has to come all covered in blood. So we'll see how that goes.
Yep.
All right. So
Before we get off T, you need to start on damn Spartacus, man. You need to learn the art of Roman treachery. Okay? That one will fucking teach you the Roman art of fucking people over.
Yeah, it's like some of the shit that happened in that, I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That motherfucker. It is really good. We haven't, what were we on? Were we on season four?
Yeah, we gotta do season four. We haven't seen season four yet.
I mean, I got so much fucking shit I gotta watch too. And then it's like, I think I'm gonna do a podcast with a couple other female horror writers at the end of July, and we're gonna be talking about Handmaid's Tale. So I haven't, so then now I got four seasons of Handmaid's Tale that I gotta watch, because I've been meaning to start watching that, but I haven't like watched it yet, so I'll get around to it. All right, so we will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, probably be talking about the lost George Romero movie, The Amusement Park, which Shudder just added. I think he made it in 1973, but I don't know if it ever came out, so they like just restored it and shit. And it was in the poll for the movie retrospective, but it tied with Hannibal Rising. So I said, okay, well, we'll do the movie retrospective, we'll do Hannibal Rising, and then on the matinee tomorrow, we'll talk about the George Romero movie.
I've already seen Hannibal Rising. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, so we'll just, I've seen it a couple times, but we'll, like, rewatch it tonight, and we can talk about it tomorrow. And then we'll watch the George Romero one tonight as well, and then we'll talk about that tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So thank you, everybody, for dropping by. Have a good rest of your weekend. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Bye.